Last year, Americans used a record 332 billion coupons to save more than $3.7 billion. The recession combined with the growth of daily deal sites like Groupon and Living Social has transformed the old art of clipping coupons into a multi-billion dollar business. But just how do coupons work for both businesses and consumers? On today's Please Explain, we will look into the history of coupons and the way the Internet has been transforming their use. Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters, has written extensively on the rise of Groupon, and Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa is also joining us for this conversation. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show, and we invite you to join the conversation by calling us at 646-829-3985. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Andrea, is it too obvious a question to ask, what is a coupon?
No, I don't think so. These days we see coupons taking on so many different forms, whether they're your standard traditional newspaper coupons to online coupon codes. Now we're even finding coupons on our cell phone via social media sites. You can get coupons through checking in on Foursquare, which is a location-based app on your phone. T-Mobile just announced a partnership with Living Social and some other daily deal sites to offer coupons on their phone to their consumers. So coupons are definitely taking on new forms and offer lots more opportunities for consumers to save.
We've been saying that they began around 100 years ago. Who invented them and who was the first company to issue a coupon?
Right. So Coca-Cola's founder actually distributed the first coupon ever back in 1888. And the coupon was for a free Coca-Cola drink. He was trying to capture new clients, customers, to get them hooked on the drink. And clearly it worked.
Well, in those days, cocaine was in the drink. You're saying getting them hooked was probably a literal thing.
Yes, seriously. But then we see about 20 years later, they were offering a cent off Raisin Bran cereals. And so that was really one of the most widely distributed coupons in the terms of a voucher and money off. And we know that coupons really are a win-win for retailers and consumers. Retailers are able to attract new clients, new customers, and reward loyal customers. And then consumers now have an opportunity to try a new product while saving some money doing so. And we've seen this really booming. They boomed during the Great Depression. Obviously, people were looking to save money. And then with our most recent recession, online coupons have just exploded everywhere. So,
Let's bring Felix into this. And Felix, not every company issues coupons. Why do you think certain businesses choose to use them but not others? Obviously, there's a business decision being made there.
Right. The businesses that want to use coupons are the ones which want more businesses. Often they have what's known as high fixed costs and low variable costs. So you need to sell a certain amount of restaurant meals or spa services or something like that.
Or hair dye, it seems.
And then beyond that, it's all profit. And so what you're trying to do, if you're coming close to making, you know, being profitable and or you're even past it, then even if you sell at less than the retail cost, you can still make lots of money because you've covered your fixed costs, and at that point it's all gravy.
Do coupons help businesses price their items better? Give them an idea of how they should price their items?
No, I think the pricing and the couponing are two separate things. The pricing is, you know, your day in day out pricing is a simple sort of supply and demand thing. You want to price it to maximize revenues, and then what you do with the coupon is you sort of turbocharge your total revenues over and above the amount of money you can get from your normal prices. You can make extra revenues at lower profit margins by putting out a coupon.
Now, I throw this out to both of you. Are there any rules or laws governing the issuing of coupons? Most of them have to be redeemed within a few months, don't they?
And that is actually violates a bunch of consumer protection laws in various states. There are lots of consumer protection laws, and especially in this new world of online coupons and Groupon and Living Social and these new Foursquare coupons and the like that we've been talking about, it's far from clear that most of these coupons actually comply with the consumer protection laws which are in effect in various states. And this, I think, is going to be a big issue going forward.
Well, yes, there's the whole matter of taxes, isn't there, Andrea?
Excuse me?
Taxes. For instance, are they factored in when a coupon affects the sales tax?
No, the coupon applies to the order value or to the product price before the tax. So,
exactly, and that again violates the law because they shouldn't be charging sales tax on something which hasn't been charged, and they won't be paying that sales tax to the state authorities, but they charge that sales tax and then they just pocket it instead of giving it to the consumer, which is what they should be doing.
Now, Andrea, is it just my imagination, or are newspaper coupons becoming more limiting? I remember in the past you just get a dollar off on a product. Now they seem to be more trouble than they're worth, like when you get 50 cents off if you purchase two of the same product, often a product that you won't use up for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely important to see what the stipulations, what the restrictions are. You always want to read the fine print of any coupon that you're using. But by all means, for grocery-specific coupons, you want to select and shop at stores that allow you to stack coupons, which may allow you to use the store coupon on top of a sale item in addition to a manufacturer coupon. So now all of a sudden, you're really stretching the savings values those coupons offer. And there are some stores that offer double coupon days. And so that coupon for 50 cents all of a sudden turns into a dollar off. So you want to look out for what local stores in your area, what they offer in terms of coupon acceptance and stacking and doubling up.
Well, we mentioned earlier that during tough economic times, people are more likely to use coupons. But supermarkets work on such tight margins, I'd imagine that they're more reluctant to do those double coupons now than they would in the past, in times when there was a lot more money available.
Sure, but you know, we're still seeing them offering those deals because they're getting people into their store by luring them in with the offers. You're even seeing supermarkets partnering up with gas stations to offer a savings off the gas, 10 cents off a gallon. I know that Stop and Shop partnered up with Shell to offer a discount. Kroger, which is a national grocery store brand, is offering discounts from their grocery sales on the gas, or vice versa. So they're definitely trying to take whatever measures to get the consumers into the store to spend.
How do coupons compare to other sorts of savings businesses, like reward clubs, Costco and Sam's Club, or special sales sites like Gilt.com?
These limited time deal sites like Gilt, like you mentioned, or Groupon are so popular now. Consumers, whether they need to purchase this item, will take advantage of these limited time deals. You feel that urge to take advantage of the offer, whether it's a luxury good that's all of a sudden now discounted at a more affordable price, you want to jump on it. And then these sites like Gilt Group and Groupon, they act more like sales sites, whereas coupons really give you more flexibility to spend and buy the things that you want and that work towards your purchase instead of giving you a limited item to pick from.
My guests are Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa and Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters. He's written extensively on the rise of Groupon. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And a reminder that you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. So, Felix, let's talk about Groupon. How has the Internet changed how businesses are using coupons?
I think what's happened is that in the olden days, it was, you know, when coupons appeared in newspapers with large circulations, it would be the big chains of supermarkets and the like who would advertise, who would print coupons and send them out to millions of people across the region or even across the country. As you were saying, there were literally hundreds of billions of coupons printed, most of which got tossed straight in the trash. And what the internet has done is it has allowed a lot more targeting. In the first instance with sites like Groupon, the targeting is geographical. And so for the first time, you get small local mom-and-pop businesses being able to print coupons and send them out to people who are just in their area and who might even be more targeted than that, and be able to say, I don't need to reach the entire circulation area of a newspaper, and I'm not trying to give people 50 cents off, and I'm trying to give them like a big one-off deal to catch their attention and get them in and let them know that I exist. You know, it's not like anyone doesn't know that Safeway exists, but people don't know about their little neighborhood restaurant, which they might not pass on their normal daily commute or whatever. And so this gives them advertising, it gives them straight into the email box, and it basically brings the whole concept of advertising and couponing onto the internet and away from the much more mass market world that coupons were before.
So Groupon and Living Social are giving you daily deals rather than something that expires 6 months from now.
And that's the difference from the consumer perspective, for sure, that you actually need to pay for it. And so there's this incredible lock-in that you get when you buy one of these deals. You're paying cash money on your credit card up front, and then you feel like you have to go to this place in order to redeem the coupon. Mm-hmm. And so you're guaranteed pretty much, you know, that the well over 80% of people who buy these coupons actually do wind up going into the store, experiencing the service, and using it. Which is completely the opposite of old-fashioned coupons, where you'd print millions of them and a tiny fraction would ever be used.
There have been complaints from some businesses that have used Groupon to attract new customers. Why don't they like the service?
So there have been complaints. It's not obvious how representative they are. I think generally merchants which are happy don't jump up and down about it, and the few who are unhappy do. Most of the complaints have been that it is too popular. Most of the complaints have been from merchants who overestimated the degree of demand they could cope with, and then they got inundated with thousands of people all trying to buy something at the same time and couldn't cope, or else they offered a deal which was so good for the consumer that when the consumer started coming in and redeeming the coupons, they wound up losing money on each deal, and that obviously wasn't good for them either. So there's definitely a fine art in these online deals especially, which can go viral and you can print many of them, to restrict the number to something which you can deal with and to make sure that it's priced so that you don't lose too much money if it's a big success.
Well, you asked in a recent blog post on Reuters whether Groupon works as well in practice as it does in theory. What was the response?
So the question there is about the targeting. So right now, Groupon targets mainly just according to what city you're in. And you and I live in New York. We know that if we live downtown and we're given a coupon to some restaurant in Morningside Heights, we're never going to look at that or use that or find that particularly interesting. And so what Groupon needs, and you know, equally, you and I are very unlikely to redeem a coupon for some chocolate facial at a spa service somewhere. So what Groupon needs to do is use its huge user base and be able to target very narrowly at, you know, certain income groups, you know, men, women, professionals, and then very small little neighborhoods, not an entire city, but, you know, who lives in the West Village, who lives in Nolita. And in theory, Groupon's great at this because they have a huge membership and they can slice quite narrowly and still provide a lot of audience to the merchants who want to use them. But in practice, there's not a lot of evidence that they've actually done that. And doing that is technologically a very difficult feat. So it remains to be seen whether they manage to square that circle and pull that off.
Andrea, how does this compare to traditional coupons? Do businesses always end up happy when they use print coupons?
Well, you know, beyond the print coupons, when we're talking internet coupons and those coupon codes, free shipping codes, retailers are really happy with how they work because now they can offer a coupon on a minimum purchase order to drive those order values up. So maybe it's $5 off 50, so that they'll entice that online shopper who was maybe had a cart full of $40 worth of merchandise to now spend the extra 10 to get that $5 off. And so that guarantees that they're making a certain amount of money on each purchase. And so we're seeing that become a very popular way for retailers to target online shoppers.
Well, a listener, Kathy, on Facebook says many of these coupons involve spending less money on something that you probably wouldn't have otherwise bought. That's great if you happen to have some spare change to throw around, but not much help for the rest of us.
Exactly. Groupon especially, and especially when you move up the level into places like Guild Group, they're very much targeting people with that extra disposable income, as opposed to the old school of coupon clippers who are really trying to save money on stuff which they would need to buy anyway from day to day.
I mentioned Facebook. We asked listeners on Facebook if they use online coupons, and Fortune says that she thinks that Groupon ruins small businesses. The small yoga studio she goes to was ruined after it offered a Groupon, got 3,000 responses, and then was inundated by people who came for the special but didn't return afterwards, and alienated the folks who were regular
who've been
customers.
There all along, and you have to protect your regular customers. It's a really bad idea to sell too many Groupons. Doing so is going to reduce your level of service. Absolutely.
And then go ahead, Andrea.
Oh, I was just going to comment on that. Is when you do offer a Groupon, whether it's small or larger business, you have to anticipate that that clientele that you're going to be bringing in isn't going to be your typical clientele. And chances are, if it's a 4-star spa that's offering a huge discount on a massage or a facial treatment, now all of a sudden the people who wouldn't typically be able to afford it may be treating themselves at that huge discount and probably would never return afterwards. So you have to take that into consideration when you are offering a Groupon.
A listener comments, most of the grocery store coupons I see are for items that are overprocessed and unnecessary.
We definitely see lots of these big brand names and packaged processed food deals. They're trying to push their products with the coupons. But you can, by all means, find coupons for organic food, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. They have great deals and offer weekly specials where you could actually match those sales with coupons. You could find organic and natural food coupons on manufacturer websites. So go to their website, sign up for their email alerts to get those deals, and pair them with sale prices to get better offers. They're out there. They're available. You just might have to do a little bit more digging than what's available in your local circulars.
According to one survey, the number of mobile coupon users is expected to grow from 2.7 million in 2010 to nearly 35 million by 2014. Do you think that we'll see a time when paper coupons just will cease to exist?
Yes. I mean, everyone is turning to the internet, to the handheld phones, their iPads for everyday needs. And, of course, we have the more traditional consumers who still aren't really up to speed with the technology. But as more people become accustomed to using their phones for everything from shopping to email to social media, retailers are really targeting mobile as marketing source and offering coupons, apps that Groupon has an app that helps you manage all of those deals instantly on the phone. And so we really are going to see many more offers coming that way.
We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Take your calls. Our number here is 646-829-3985. You can also, we'd like to know whether either through Facebook, Twitter, or our blog, The Lowdown, if you've used a daily deal site like Groupon or Living Social recently, or whether you regularly go clip coupons and take them to the supermarket. Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa is with us, and Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters. Again, the number 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. There's also Facebook, Twitter, and all those other things. And we're back with Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters, and Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa, and we're taking your calls at 646-829-3985. Let's go right to one of those calls. And Ed from Long Island, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I have found when I started using Internet coupons, a number of coupons from vendors for items that are consumables, like vitamins or certain juices and so on, have hidden a hidden system to take my credit card and sign me up for a monthly shipment, not just a one-time shipment. And I have found it very difficult to get off of those shipping lists.
And you did that through Groupon?
And not through Groupon. I did it through coupon ads. I have used Groupon. I have used another one called restaurants.com very successfully.
Yeah, sometimes those coupons, the inserts have little questionnaires that you hand in with the hopes of getting a lot of coupons. Do you know anything about that, Andrea or Felix?
There's a few companies, one of them I know quite a lot about, called Virtue, who specialize in things like, if you're buying something online, there'll be this thing just before checkout saying, get an extra $10 off if you fill something out. And then you fill it out, and you're already buying this thing online, so you're handing over your credit card already, and you don't read the small print. And then before you know it, you're being charged $29 a month for some service that you have no idea what it is. And if you don't check your credit card statement too assiduously, that can go on for years, often, before people find out. And it's a huge scam, and a number of attorneys general have been cracking down on it, so it's less bad now than it used to be, but certainly trying to get those charges reversed is extremely difficult. The trick is, when you get through on the phone to these people, and you, they'll be very willing, generally, when you finally get through, to stop charging you, but they'll be very unwilling to reverse the old charges unless and until you threaten to sue them. And if you just mention lawyers or attorney generals or something like that, then at that point, you should, fingers crossed, be able to get those charges reversed.
Well, aren't the supermarkets culpable because they're the ones who are actually part of the process?
Well, this is not normally supermarket coupons. This is generally online offers. And it's not even normally coupons. It's little sort of $10 off. They can turn up in odd corners of the internet. It's not really a couponing thing. But often when you're buying something on the internet with a credit card, these things sort of flock around it like parasites, and you have to be very, very wary of these offers.
We go now to Amy from Manhattan. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, it's a related question. I was wondering some of these, how secure are online coupons, and especially the ones that you can get from a phone?
You know, I mean, when you're talking about coupons on your phone, you obviously want to, you can use coupon apps. So Coupon Sherpa, we actually have an iPhone app that's free to download. And all the coupons just pop up right on your phone. They don't take any information from you. And all you do is you click on the coupon when you're in store and present that coupon to the cashier, and they scan the barcode right off your phone or type in the coupon code for an instant discount. And now when you're talking about shopping online, it's definitely wise to take precautions anytime you're offering your personal information, credit card information. So I would recommend shopping from a secure network, shopping from home, and putting a lock on your wireless connection. You don't really want to shop from public locations like the library or the internet cafe that's near your home. But also, you look for that secure sign when you're checking out. And anytime that there is a coupon offer from a big brand on these reputable coupon sites like Coupon Sherpa, and there's tons of other ones that come up, Coupon Cabin, you've seen them before, you're just pulling the code, and so none of your information is really being given to them.
Okay, thank you so much, Amy. We are now talking to Justin from L.A.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
So basically, I've been reading recently on a lot of notable tech blogs that a lot of people are kind of putting the daily deals industry. They're saying that it's really hurting small business. And I'm definitely a supporter of the daily deals business. I think it's a great model, but I do think that it definitely needs to change. You know, the way Groupon and the competitors work is, you know, they're trying to build a massive list, and they'll go to businesses and say, you know, we have 250,000 potential new customers in the Los Angeles area or the New York area, you know, whichever area it is. Problem with this is that these aren't targeted customers. You know, it could be bargain hunters, it could be extreme couponers, it could be people who just buy on impulse. So what they're really trying to promise these businesses is that they're going to bring in new customers that are going to turn into repeat customers, but this just doesn't happen.
I used to work in the supermarket business, and we called the people who only went in for the sale items cherry pickers. And I'd imagine that there's the equivalent in the coupon world, people who only buy from coupons.
Exactly. No restaurant or spa wants to sell their Groupons only to people who are going to come in, use it once, spend the minimum amount, and never come back. And so this, again, is where the whole question of targeting comes in. When you have tens of millions of subscribers across the country, theoretically it should be possible to target the people who are going to come back and who are going to be exactly the kind of people you're wanting to reach, and reverse target, like try and not send the coupon to the cherry pickers. But as I say, in practice, that's turned out to be incredibly difficult.
Now, Felix, Groupon has been valued at more than $25 billion. Doesn't that seem like a lot for what's basically a coupon provider?
Yes. I mean, the valuations for Groupon in particular seem amazingly high, and it's really hard to do the mathematics and try and justify that on any kind of sort of discounted cash flow analysis or something like that. So there's a little bit of a dot-com bubble going on right now. If you look at the valuation of LinkedIn, as another one of those companies which just went public, my suspicion is that we're going to go back down to slightly more rational levels at some point in the future.
Susan left this comment on our show page. I lived in New York City for the past 20 years, and I recently moved to the South. I'm amazed at how everything is so coupon-oriented down here. Are there some parts of the country where coupons are used more than others?
It seems as though, I mean, coupons are widespread, and it just seems as though when you get into the more metropolitan areas where things typically cost more, but you also have a sense of more trendy items, restaurants and so forth, and the typical public aren't necessarily those bargain hunter shoppers, they don't typically use coupons as much, and so you don't really see them being offered or being used as much, I think, in these more metropolitan cities. However, they're available. You just have to really look out for them a little bit more.
My guests are Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa and Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters. Let's go to another call. This one is from Janet in Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm wondering if you know anything about something. I've heard an ad many, many times now on commercial radio. Let me turn my air conditioner off. It's making too much noise.
You need a coupon for a new air conditioner.
Yes, I should get a new air conditioner. They advertise on the radio that they're going to send you $2,000 worth of coupons to buy food. They say they're tracking spending habits or marketing habits or something, and you can go to your supermarket and buy your regular foods and they're going to give you $2,000 worth of free food. Do you know anything about this? What could it possibly be? It must be some sort of scam. It just can't be what it sounds like.
Wait, do you remember which company this was?
I don't think they mentioned a company. Well, they had an 800 number, I think. They might have had a website with a name on it, but it wasn't a food company. I think they were saying they were tracking, you know, maybe they were some sort of market research company or something, wanting to track people's food buying habits. But I just can't believe they're going to hand you $2,000 worth of free food without, you know.
Well, it sounds like they're going to give you $2,000 valued in coupons towards the types of foods that you typically purchase.
Right.
But paying for coupons isn't really a necessary way to use your coupons. There's so many coupons that are out there that are free to you.
They're saying that it's free. That's the point. I think they're saying it's free. Or maybe it's you give them
Well, you're giving your information to sign up and be evaluated and whatnot. And that might be their ploy to get retailers to offer them more coupons and whatnot. And I haven't really heard about this yet, although I would be wary about giving out my information like that.
Yeah.
However, we are seeing companies doing that through banks. Now, actually, there's a company called BillShrink that is working with banks to analyze the way your purchases and then offering coupons via your online bank statement based on how you spend your money.
But don't supermarkets and drugstores already have all that information, especially if you have a reward card?
Right.
They know everything about your buying habits simply by you give them the reward card. You get a couple of cents off on a few items, and they have a list of everything you bought, and they know who you are.
Right, and they will actually send you coupons on a monthly basis based on the purchases, so you'll start seeing those coupons coming in for the products that you typically buy more, which is great because it is targeting those items that you like. So it's a great way to take advantage of deals being sent directly to you.
Let's take another call. Kay from Douglaston, you're on the air.
Thank you. One of your speakers mentioned a deal between Stop and Shop and Shell Oil Company. And a few weeks ago, I stopped at my local Stop and Shop, and without asking for it, they gave me a coupon worth 30% off gas at Shell Oil because I had spent $300 at the grocery store. I drove several miles in the rain to the first Shell station, said they didn't have the offer, and they sent me to another one. I got there, and the price of the gasoline was approximately 30 cents higher than the mobile station closest to my home. So I drove 4 or 5 miles and saved about 25 cents, leaving me with a negative feeling toward both Stop and Shop and Shell Oil. Do you run into that very often?
You know, I'm the one who mentioned that deal because out in California, I actually have Ralph's. It's not Stop and Shop. However, they did a similar offer, and I've always had such great experiences with it. So my one notion is that whoever was it, maybe a franchise operator of Shell gas station who was denying this offer, I don't know. And that does that could happen, which is really, really unfortunate because it is such a nice offer to be able to give your food shop that discount at the gas station. So I'm sorry that that happened to you. And if I were you, I might bring that up to your Stop and Shop manager the next time you're shopping, and then so that they can give you those locations before you start driving around town.
But there is a certain amount of paranoia that we all have, that when we see 25% off, we think maybe they hiked up the price 25%, and now we're just, it looks like we're getting a deal, but we're not really getting a deal.
Right. So, you know, to be a smart consumer, no matter what you're purchasing, knowing how much something is supposed to cost, the market value, the market price among several retailers and brands is going to be the best way for you to know whenever you're getting a deal. So just do as much research as you can.
Our number here, 646-829-3985. Sarah writes in, I really like Groupon-type coupons for restaurants. They give me an incentive to try new places. So there are positives. We've been talking mostly about the negatives with Groupon, but a lot of people do appreciate the possibilities that they offer.
There's something called a commitment device in economics, which is where you force yourself to do something, and in theory, these things should have negative value, because if you're forced to do something, then you don't have the option to not do it anymore, and options are always great. If you can do whatever you want, that's meant to be better than being forced to do something. But in fact, in reality, commitment devices can be very useful. If you say to yourself, I've always wanted to try that place, you know, around the corner, but you never get around to it, then buying a Groupon is a great way of A, forcing yourself to go there and try it, and B, saving money at the same time, because you won't be spending as much there as you would do if you didn't have the coupon. So you can, it's a way of making yourself do something which you know in theory you want to do, but in practice you might not get around to. And there is value to that.
We have very little time, but wanted to sneak this last call in. Derek, hi, you're on the air. Can you make it quick?
Sure. Earlier, Mr. Felix from Reuters mentioned problems with state consumer laws, particularly about the expiration dates on coupons not being effective under the laws, and most importantly, that you charge the retail price before the coupon. Even though you use the coupon to reduce the retail price, the store takes the sales tax from you, but they don't give it to the state. It's like they're robbing us. What do we do about that?
You take that to your local attorney general and see if they're going to prosecute.
But I guess that happens a lot there. So the equivalent of the float, isn't it?
It's a hidden gift to merchants from Groupon, essentially, and it's I don't think it's legal. And at some point, it's going to cause a big class action suit somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, we thank you so much, both of you, for participating in today's Please Explain. Look at coupons and Groupons, and we didn't mention Living Social, but they're around as well. There are a couple of other companies. My thanks to Felix Salmon, the finance blogging editor at Reuters, and Andrea Warwick of the website Coupon Sherpa for being so expert.
Thanks, Lennon.
Well, thanks for having me.